broken, but they knew something about the Word of God. Amen. All right, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. And look at Genesis chapter number 3. We'll be looking back to that here in just a moment for a little bit of sake of time. Let's go right into Galatians 3 this evening. We have been preaching. I didn't intend on this. You ain't going to believe this. Everything I preach up to now, I've got one more Sunday I'm going to need. It was all supposed to be one message. Ain't y'all glad I split it up?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I split it up. Amen. But I didn't intend for it to turn into old Sundays.
Good.
And yet, I find personally, I believe that what we're studying is very, very important to us. It obviously is important to sinners if they understand the things we've been dealing with. But every now and then, I think even churches needs to sit down and be reminded. In fact, Paul said there, I believe it was the church at Corinth, he said, I determined not to know anything else among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I believe there's something to that. Even the church needs to hear, to get our hearts back upon the Lord Jesus and be grateful to Him. And then sometimes along the way we see a different angle of something that the Lord has done for us that we go, man, I never knew that, or I never seen that quite that way. And then we fall in love with Him all over again. Amen. And so I hope that maybe that's what the Lord's doing in these days. Just stand together and we'll just read from Galatians 3. Of course, I've been using Genesis 3 to kind of jump into this. And the fall of man, the sin of man, and the curse that proceeded from that upon Adam and has been brought to all of us tonight. We're living in a cursed world,
yes.
A cursed creation. We're living in cursed flesh. Amen. We are cursed physically. We are cursed emotionally. And we are cursed absolutely spiritually tonight. But we find some hope in Galatians chapter number 3 and in verse number 13. Paul said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so we'll leave our reading off there tonight. You can be seated. Let's pray. And then we'll try to teach us some things this evening. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly bow one more time on this great Lord's Day, thankful for the privilege to pray. Lord, knowing tonight again that within ourselves, Lord, dwelleth no good thing, and that without you we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we pause again tonight on this side of preaching. Lord, in acknowledgement that I need your touch, I need it physically upon my voice and in my body. Lord, I need it upon my mind that, Lord, we can stay upon point and, Lord, communicate and educate the people of God and these that are listening. But, Lord, more than any of that, Lord, even in the weakness of our flesh and our mind, I pray that we not be lacking in any way, Lord, in the Spirit's power. Take us beyond ourselves. Lord, beyond our own abilities, our own study, our own, Lord, our own plans, Lord, even for this message tonight. And I pray that, Lord, you would use this for your name's sake. Bless the church tonight. Lord, may they be blessed, Lord, in the study. And Lord, sinners that are listening here and in other places, I pray, Lord, the preaching of the gospel, though it would be foolishness to the world, may it be the power of God and the salvation for some soul tonight. And maybe, Lord, even in days to come, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name again we pray. Amen and amen. We've been studying the thought of Christ and the curse. The fact that we are under the curse of sin and the curse of the fall and the curse of the law is upon us even to this very hour. God had given commandment there to Adam in the Garden of Eden, the day that he made him, he gave him breath and made him a living soul and placed him in the Garden of Eden, intended him to serve the Lord in that capacity. The Lord said, here is all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Amen. And he gave him one commandment, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, in Genesis 3, Adam does that. And in falling to sin, God brings to him in Genesis 3, 17 through 19, the curse of sin, the curse of the fall, is placed upon not only Adam, but also creation. And as we've seen in 2 Peter 2:14, reaches down to you and I at this day, in that the ungodly and those that are born with the sin nature are called cursed children. And so the generation we're living under tonight, and we're living in tonight, we don't like to admit it, our generation that is, don't like to dwell upon this thought. But this generation is a generation of cursed children. Amen. Living in the opposite of that, the blessings of God. Amen. That doesn't mean God is not good to us, but it means that in spite of his goodness from day to day, amen, we still have a spiritual condition whereby we are cursed and cut off. We are under the denunciation of our sin, the condemnation of it, and are faced with the coming vindication and the wrath of God against us for our sin. And so to be cursed is to be cut off. To be cursed is to be living opposite the blessings of the Lord. We understand that the curse involves the sentence of divine judgment proceeding from God, and the ruin that has followed that being inflicted upon mankind because of our sin. And so I don't think that anybody, saved or lost, has to look very far around us to understand we're living in a cursed creation. And that is seen in our lives from day to day. And the graveyards, the funeral homes, the courtrooms, the hospitals, the anxieties and fears and troubles and broken hearts, the sin and the perversions that abound on every hand testify that mankind is not near God, he's cut off from God, he's away from God, and that friend, we're living a miserable existence in this world. That's not how God intended for man to live. That was not the original intent and plan and will of God for Adam and his seed after him. But that friend, sin has done this to you and I. Amen. Sin, that friend, wrecked it all. And one choice it had been made. Amen. Robbed us from all the shame and the blessings that God had made man to enjoy. And we're left, my friend, absolutely hopeless in this life. Amen. Because of this that is called the curse. Amen. And we find in our text tonight in Galatians chapter number 3. And the only hope that we have is found in Christ alone. The fact that we're under a curse is absolutely so. But the fact that Christ 2,000 years ago came into this world, according to Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 5, where the Bible said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so Christ, my friend, in time, right on time, amen, sent by the Heavenly Father, came that he might deal with my friend, this matter of the curse that is upon mankind. And so when man could not work his way out of the curse, and when man, my friend, could not make choices that would lead him out of the curse, when men cannot wash away their sins in a baptismal pool, amen, to escape the curse, we find that Christ, amen, is the answer for the curse we're under. And so we're preaching with that thought in mind of Christ and the curse. We looked at it last week, yeah, and we dealt with the reversal by Christ in the matter of the curse. The fact that Christ has reversed everything Adam did, Amen. Every choice had been made in Genesis chapter number 3. Amen. Everything he violated, everything he dishonored, everything he doubted, everything he defied. And the Lord Jesus reversed all of that in the days of his earthly life. Amen. Where Adam chose to walk far away from God. And we have made our choice in him being the head of all the human race. Amen. Christ as the perfect man. Amen. Thank God. Reverse the course. Amen. To reverse the curse. And you and I might be saved. Amen. We had a time on that one last week. I did anyway. Amen. Dealing with our perfect Savior. Amen. When you and I could not reverse him, when we couldn't find a program in human society, when government could not reverse it. Amen. We understand the Word of God teaches Christ reversed the curse. Amen. By walking back everything that Adam did. Amen. He stayed true to his heavenly Father. Amen. He loved him and he believed him. And thank God he always honored his authority. All the things that Adam failed to do. Amen. And all the things that Adam did that he shouldn't have done, Jesus Christ, amen, made it right and reversed it as our last Adam. And so this morning we moved on further into the fall of Christ and the curse. And we began this morning to make a study upon the redemption by Christ from the curse. Now the fact that man is under the curse is no foreign matter in the Word of God. And anybody that will be honest tonight, amen, even in human society, would have to say, amen, surely God did not make us to have this in life. Amen, and surely and indeed the Lord did not. Amen, but the curse is all around this. Amen, the curse is not going to be cured through global climate change. And it's not going to be changed through social justice causes. Amen. The fact of the matter is the curse and everything that is inflicted upon us tonight because of the curse, amen, is resolved only by the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that Paul deals with this in Galatians 3:13, amen, is a wonder of wonders. Christ, amen, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that is a fact tonight that, amen, surely the church will not redeem you and I from the curse that we're under. Amen, with the curse came loss, and with the curse, my friend, we were sold into sin. And with the curse, we find that you and I have been brought to a very low estate. But Christ, Paul said, hath redeemed us from the curse. Amen. And so we dealt with the thought of redemption this morning. Amen. Simply meaning to buy up, to ransom, or literally to rescue from the loss. And so the curse, with the curse came a loss. And with the curse, my friend, we were sold into slavery. But my friend, Christ hath redeemed us. He has made available redemption, amen, to rescue and recover us from the loss that sin has left behind. Amen. Man is but a shell of what God created him to be. Amen. Man can't even enjoy a thimbleful of what God made him to enjoy. Thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ and redemption by Christ from the curse. Amen. There is a better way. Amen. The void within man, the hole in man's heart and man's soul. Amen. The death that is in man's spirit tonight. Amen. The answer for all of that is redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the doctrine of redemption is covered. Amen. I believe throughout the Word of God when we come to the New Testament. The Apostle Peter would say, you have been born again, you have been redeemed. Amen. Not with corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The fact that there is redemption available, oh, what a message that is to tell. And oh, what a doctrine that is to ponder tonight. Amen. Redemption by Christ from the curse. Amen. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. And in Galatians 3, the verses surrounding this verse and this phrase is going to teach us several things about this redemption. We looked at briefly, I say briefly only this morning, the thought of the expectation of this redemption. And we began to study this matter of the curse and all that is involved. And even in Genesis 3, we find that God is going to curse Adam. And because of the curse upon Adam, amen, all you and I, men and women, all the man's sons and daughters, amen, are brought upon that curse. Amen. But before the curse, in cursing the serpent, that is the devil, amen, Christ gave a promise, that friend that preceded the curse. Amen. He gave a conclusion. He gave, let's put it this way. Amen. He announced that there would be a cure for the curse.
Yeah.
Amen. He said to the serpent, speaking of a woman that had been deceived. Amen. He said that the seed of the woman and thy seed are going to be at enmity one with another. And you may bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, and it shall bruise thy head. And in Hebrews chapter number 2, no doubt the Apostle Paul in verse 14 and in verse number 15 had this in mind. Amen. When he spake of the Lord Jesus coming into this world, and he came that he might destroy the works of the devil. And my friend, the one that had the power of death in his hand, amen, the one that tricked and deceived and led man astray. Amen. Thank God Christ came to be that seed and that fulfillment. Amen. Of the promise and expectation that, amen, Adam could hold on to even before the curse was pronounced against him. And so thank God we learned from that that, amen, Christ, that God through Christ had a solution for the curse in man would be under. Amen. In Galatians 3:6-11. We get with this morning Paul as he picks up on this same thought and this fact. Amen. That the expectation of this redemption is found. And even going back to the days of Abraham. Amen. That even that mad friend before the gospel, Christ was being preached. And my friend, there was a gospel message of good news that had been declared unto Abraham. And with that, my friend, with that pronouncement of the gospel, amen, to whatever degree it was revealed to Abraham in that day, amen, it had with it a promise that, amen, Abraham knew and understood involved the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He may not have known the insides and the outs like we do. Amen. But again, understand that God made me a promise. And that promise said, because I'm a good man, and because I'm a good feller, amen, it's because he's bringing one down the line. Amen. That is going to gather into himself. Amen. Even all of those of all nations, the heathens and the Gentiles, amen, by faith are going to be brought into this one called Christ. Amen. How do we know that? Amen. He said that Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Know ye therefore, verse 7, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Amen. Now this is not replacement theology. We absolutely believe that Israel is God's chosen people. Amen. We're not preaching the heresy. I'm that friend. The Lord is the Lord has forever turned his back on the nation of Israel. Amen. He's doing a work even in that land and among that people in this very hour tonight. Amen. But what he is promising is that, amen, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message, there are going to be those from every nation, amen, that are put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as such. Amen. They become the spiritual children of Abraham. Amen. Why is that? Because the same one Abraham believed, and the same message Abraham received, and the same message that Abraham embraced, amen, involves the same person you and I had been saved and put our faith in,
And thank God the promise to Abraham is our promise. We, amen, become the fulfillment of that as we believe Christ as well. Amen. That message needs to be preached in this day. Amen. Abraham believed this promise, and by faith in Christ, he himself was redeemed. Amen. We know this from verse number 16, where, amen, Paul said, now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as one. And notice the punctuation there. He's telling you, amen, what the message was to Abraham. Amen. He said, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Amen. And I know that ain't all revealed in the Old Testament. Amen. But what Paul is saying is that, amen, when God looked at Abraham and said, in thy seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Amen. That Abraham understood that to be Christ. Amen. That was the gospel preached before unto Abraham. Amen. That Christ was coming down the line. Amen. And so the expectation of this redemption, amen, I'm holding down. I'm grateful for the expectation of it is simply this. Amen. That if we're going to be redeemed as Abraham, amen, expecting Christ and was looking forward to Christ. Amen. So you and I must look to the same tonight. Amen. In order to be born again by the grace of God. Amen. If we're to be accounted mankind of the righteousness of God, it is a righteousness that has always been and always will be by faith in Jesus. Amen. So there is no other way. Amen. And we dealt with briefly this morning all the expectation found. Amen. Throughout all the Old Testament message is simply, amen, Christ is coming. The Savior is coming. Of the seed of the woman and the seed of Abraham is on the way. And Christ is the fulfillment of that and thus brings, amen, the eternal redemption that is available to all of us. Now, look with me again in verse number 13. Let's spend a moment studying this of the execution for this redemption. Amen. If there is an expectation, amen, then that means that all the Old Testament proceeding, and God would justify the heathen by faith. And after him, all the Old Testament is pointing to something very specific. And that is found in verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? Being made a curse for us. Now, when did he do that? He did it, the Bible said, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, Peter, we make this statement, I believe it's in Acts in chapter number 5. And chapter number 5, and in verse number 30, if I'm not mistaken, amen, but Peter preached and said, and speaking about Christ, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Amen. And so the Word of God uses two terms to describe the events and the emblem upon which Christ died. And it's not a contradiction, it's one and the same. It is either called the cross, or it's either called the tree. Out here, Paul chooses to use the language of him going to Calvary and hanging upon a tree. And so Paul is explaining that the means by which Christ would make a way of redemption is simply by the cross. Amen. That emblem of execution, that torturous rack upon which Christ died. A place where his hands and his feet were nailed and fashioned. A bad friend on that day 2,000 years ago. Amen. There was an execution of the Son of God. And in that execution, the Pharisees and the religious crowd and even the world and the Roman government fought. And that friend, they were ridding themselves of a prophet or of some zealous teacher or some. A sort of religious fanatic, but little did they know, Brother Mike, amen, that they were bringing an execution to the one, and through that execution was offering our redemption. Amen. You'll understand, even in the birth of Christ, we are through, amen, his life in 33 and a half years there. There are many attempts whereby the Lord's life is trying to be taken. Even when he's just a baby in Bethlehem, we understand that the word began to come to Herod. Amen. Then the Son of God had been born. The King of the Jews had been born. And what he did, he sent an edict out that all of those that were 2 years and under, and they would be slain, no doubt, by the edge of the sword. Amen. And the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and Mary, and they fleeing down to Egypt, sparing the baby life of the Son of God. You remember that after his baptism, the Lord was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And one of those temptations was, cast thyself down, amen, off of the pinnacle of the temple, amen, and let's tempt God to save and spare your life. Amen. The devil was trying to take the life of the Lord that day. Amen. In that temptation throughout several instances, throughout the 3.5 year public ministry of the Lord Jesus, people would get angry with him, and they would begin to communicate one with another how they might kill the Son of God. In fact, things got so heated one day. After that, the Lord looked at them and said, if ye were of your father Abraham, ye would, amen, ye would have received me. For Abraham saw that day and rejoiced in it and was glad. And they got ticked off at the Lord. Amen. On that day, the Bible said they picked up stones that they might stone him. And the Lord and their Savior, amen, the Bible said he just simply disappeared through the crowd. Amen. They would not be able to stone him on that day. Amen. Why? Because in the plan of redemption, he could not be slain by the edge of the sword. He could not be slain by being cast down from the high place. And he could not be slain by that of a stone. Amen. In the plan of redemption, amen, the Son of God was going to have to go to a tree. He was going to have to die by means of an execution upon that of the old rugged cross. Amen. And that is the plan of redemption. And Paul deals with that in light of the curse that man is under. Had he died in death of the sword, he would have never took care of the curse. Had he died, my friend, by being flung from a high place, amen, there would not be any redemption. Had he been stoned, even according to the law, my friend of Gerald, the curse would still be upon you and I. Amen, but underneath the law, amen, the law said the soul that sinneth it shall surely die. And under the law, the Bible gave very direct commands. The law said that, amen, rebellious sons and daughters in idolatry and witchcraft and all these things that the law condemned, when men would partake of certain sins, they were to be taken without the camp and being stoned. But look with me tonight, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter number 21. And this is where Paul reaches back to and sheds some light upon the death, the execution of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Christ have to die upon the tree? And look with me in verse number 22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. And notice there's a parenthetical statement that the Lord is going to give that he never gave about stoning men and women. And then here's what he said, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled with the Lord, of which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And so there were people that could be stoned, and that was a gruesome death, and it was an awful death, and it left a testimony behind. Amen. Of God's anger and God's wrath for mankind's sin. And God said, now there are certain things that a man can become. And if he becomes sad and you put him to death, then you hang him upon a tree. And the parenthetical statement is, when that happens, that man, even in his death, amen, God is not just angry with him, amen, but he is accursed from God. And as God would view that in a certain way, and God had prayed, there would be no forgiveness, there would be no atonement, and then testifying that all of God's wrath, amen, and the condemnation and denunciation and vindication, amen, that is wrapped up in the curse. Amen. A man hanging on a tree testified, and that man had become a cursed thing in the sight of God. Amen. And so we would submit tonight by the word of God, amen, that the necessity of the cross is found in the way in which this was literally Christ taking on the curse of man. Amen. We understand that he was the perfect man. Amen. He is the second, or we would say tonight, and he is the last Adam that, amen, has not only come to reverse the curse in his life, in his obedience to God, even to the point of death, but that friend, he has come to bring redemption. Now, here's the matter that is in hand. Amen. Christ being the perfect man, he did not possess a body that had the effects of the curse within it. Amen. Friend possessed a body and had a man friend of the deity of God housed within it. Amen. That's why he could walk on the water. That's why man friend he could, amen, do miracles in his life and the lives of others. That, amen, the curse had affected through disease and blindness and deafness. And that friend, this is why he had power over devils. Of that friend, he was the perfect man. Amen. And as such, he was not confined, amen, to the effects of the curse like mankind was. Why? Because he had no sin. Amen. And you say, well, then how then is he going to redeem us? Amen. From the curse of the law. Where is the redemption of Christ from the curse? It is in the fact that he willingly, amen, though he had done nothing worthy of death, amen, took upon him our worthiness of death, and took upon himself our sin, and that friend, the one, and that friend knew nothing of the curse. Amen. Went to the accursed emblem. Amen. Went to the emblem of suffering and of shame. Amen. Friend, there he let mankind abuse him. Amen. Friend, beat him and bleed him out. And that friend there. Amen. Upon an old rugged tree. Amen. The Son of God provided redemption. Amen. And then the law of God demanded. Amen. If anything is going to bring redemption, trial of the curse that we're under, amen, somebody who's not under the curse has to be willing to go to the tree and be made a curse, amen, from God. And that is what Paul is teaching. Now, here's what I want to give you tonight in this matter of the execution of this, in this redemption. The execution for this redemption. But sir, why the cross? And what is there in the cross? Amen. That is dealing with the curse. Amen. And I said it this morning, I teased you a little bit. Amen. But I believe the cross and Christ hanging on the tree and the death that he died was Christ's way of absorbing the curse that we were under. He could not absorb it any other way. He didn't bring it in his conception. He is not of the seed of the first Adam. Right. He's conceived of the Holy Ghost. Right. Amen. In the womb of the woman. Amen. And so he did not. Amen. He did not have the curse bred in and upon him. Amen. So he's got to absorb it. mercy we are under. Amen. And in doing such, has provided redemption for you and I. Amen. Consider, number one, the sorrow of the curse. Amen. The Lord said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Verse 17. And notice what the Lord said, in sorrow shalt thou eat of him all the days of thy life. Amen. Yeah. Now, did Christ absorb that? Absolutely did. Amen. In Isaiah 53 and in verse number 3, Brother Jerry, here's what the prophet Isaiah said about the life that Jesus would live. He said he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Amen. He, my friend, amen, though he was not under the curse, he absorbed the curse and began to absorb it, amen, by being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Amen. He knew the sorrows of living in a cursed creation. Amen. He experienced amen, toll, and he experienced work. Amen. In the degree that we do in this hour and this day. Amen. He experienced the grief and the loss. Amen. Of friends and no doubt of family members along life's way. Amen. He experienced the sorrows of rejection and betrayal, the sorrows of being lied and misrepresented upon that. And he faced the sorrows and the grief. Amen. That are common to men in the lives that we live. Amen. But I say to you tonight, amen, that he was a man of sorrows in the hour in which. Amen. For the hour in which he came to the order roll. And that friend, the closer he came to Calvary. Amen. The closer he got to the cross, his sorrow magnified. And but Gerald, the Bible said that, amen, even in the night of his betrayal, and Christ stood and testified to his children, amen, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. And that friend there, the man of sorrows, what is he doing? Amen, he is absorbing the curse. He is absorbing the curse. Amen, when the crowd began to chant, crucify him. Crucify him, do you imagine tonight? And the sorrow that was in his spirit, and the grief that was in his mind over hearing that trial. Amen. That he had done nothing but good for. And that friend had only given the truth to. And he's only interested in their betterment and their salvation and redemption. Amen. You reckon there was some sorrow attached to that? Amen. The same thing that God said to Anna. I didn't make you for sorrow, but you're going to live your life. All the days of your life are going to be filled with sorrow. And on the cross, Christ, amen, absorbed a lifetime of your sorrow. And that sorrow may as a result of the curse. And in doing so, he's absorbing that. Amen. In execution that, he might redeem your life from the curse. Amen. The sorrow of the cross. Notice with me the thorns of the curse. Amen. The sorrow of the curse, but the thorns of the curse. The Bible said, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Amen. You see, prior to the fall of man and the curse. Amen. Prior to Genesis 3:18, there wasn't a thorn or a thistle or a briar patch. Amen. And all in God's creation. Amen. Thorns and pricks and thistles and sticker bushes are a result. Amen. The curse that came upon Anna. And if you're going to labor and you're going to toil, you're going to have to plow the field. But Anna, now you're going to contend with thorns and thistles. And they're going to try to prick you and bleed you out. And they're going to be a source of pain and stinging to you. Amen. The days of your life. Amen. And what a cursed world we're in. Amen. Where we are well acquainted if you're outdoors at all. Amen. There's some places you don't go barefoot. Amen. Or that friend, you'll learn what a thorn and a thistle is. Amen. Friend, we've all dealt with that in our life. Amen. Did Jesus absorb that? Amen. Did Christ absorb that? Amen. You better believe he did during his crucifixion. Amen. In the hour of being mad, friend, taken to the old rugged tree. Brother Ryan, we read that the Roman soldiers, in all their mockery and beating, they put the Lord Jesus through. And one of them, no doubt prompted by the Holy Ghost, said, amen, went out to my friend some thorn bush and began to gather them Middle Eastern thorns and form out of those thorns. Amen. What the Word of God says is a crown of thorns. And that friend, they didn't lightly place it upon him. And that friend, the Bible said, they played and crowned the thorns upon his head. And that friend, that is, they drove the thorns in as deep as they could. And you see in your mind tonight, the bloody crown of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the thorn goes in one part of his brow and exits out of another part, can you see the tearing of his flesh? Amen. Can you see the blood that is coming out? Amen. Can I tell you all that that was necessary? Amen. Because that represented the church. Amen. That man was under. Amen. Friend, God got the seal in the old rugged tree. Amen. The Savior hung between heaven and earth. Amen. With thorns stuck in his brow. Amen. His tribes disarming the curse.
Amen. The sorrow, the curse, the thorns and thistles of the curse. I see the sweat of the curse. Amen. The Lord said in this text, in cursing the man, he said, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. He said, but Adam, in the sweat of thy face, shalt thou eat thy, and shalt thou eat bread. And so he said, Adam, amen, you've never known what it is to sweat. Amen. I believe according to the curse that is made, and prior to that of the fall of man, and Adam worked, I believe he worked, and he served, and he tended the garden. Amen. But work ain't much work when you're not sweating, and you're not talking, and you're not feeling the exertion of energy. A man, friend, the Lord said, because you sin, and the curse that is upon you, amen, you're going to know what it is to sweat. You say, preacher, how in the world does that relate? Amen. To the execution of the Savior at the cross for our redemption. Amen. We do not remember there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord took Peter and James and John into the garden. And he left them a certain way in, Brother Mike. And but Jerry, the Bible said, and he went a little further. Amen. Ain't you glad he went a little further? Ain't you glad he went just a little bit further? Amen. It makes a testimony of the Lord's life. Amen. It can be the epithet. Amen. He went a little further. Amen. And I'm glad he did. But there in the garden he begins to pray. And it's there that he exclaims, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. I even unto death. And in prayer, the Bible said, I believe it's in Luke and in chapter number 22 and in verse number 44. And he, being in a great agony, began to sweat as it were great drops of blood. Amen. He said it to the cross. He's looking, Brother Jack, into the cup he's going to drink from. All the dregs and the wrath of God poured out for sin. He's got to drink it all in. Amen. And in doing so, Brother Lynn, there's a curse that's got to be dealt with. Amen. The curse said he's going to sweat. Amen. But Jesus, amen, absorbed that in Calvary. On his way to Calvary, he's poured it all. He sweated like no man had ever sweated before. Amen. He's pouring out everything from the depths of his soul. Amen. It ain't just the hydration and moisture in his skin. Oh no, it's coming from a deeper place. Amen. Why, preacher? Because adding the plan of redemption is Christ absorbing the curse. If we were sudden. Thank the Lord that he faced it all. Amen. I got to quit. Amen. Notice the death of the curse. The death of the curse. God said to Adam in the curse, till thou return unto the ground, for out of him wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Amen. Adam, you were not made to die. You were not created to die.
verse. I told you the day you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day thou eatest it, thou shalt surely die. And what you don't understand is what you've done has made a way that from this day forward, amen, you are going to face a time when you draw your last breath and you die. Your body's going back to the dust. You will cease to be. You will cease to be on this planet. Amen. Adam had an eternal soul that lived on. Amen. But the day would come when Adam would die. Adam had never seen death when God made that proclamation. Now he's going to see it. He's going to see what death looks like in a verse or two. God's going to bring them animals. He's going to select some animals. He's going to skin out and give to Adam and Eve for their clothing. Yeah. Adam and Eve had to sit there and watch what death was for the very first time.
Yeah.
The animals they had loved on, those animals that Adam had named, God selected some and brought them over there and said, Adam, you're going to die. Here's what death looks like. Killed them animals right in front of them. That image that was left in the mind of Adam, what death was, leaving out of something, watching my friend its blood come, its life drain out of its visage, losing its strength and losing its power till it draws its last breath to be motionless lifeless. Adam, you're going to die one day. Did Christ absorb that? You better believe he did. John 19, verse number 30, I believe it is, the Bible said that our Savior there from Calvary cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," and that he gave up the ghost. The one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The one in John 11, Brother James, that testified to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Amen. The one who said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. Amen. The one in that dream said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I'm told by the Son of God who, amen, was not bound to the curse and yet in the cross. Amen. Becoming a curse from God, absorbed the curse that you and I were under. Amen. And listen, men. Amen. In one regard, the Word of God would say, amen, you slew and you killed the King and the Prince of Glory. And that friend, in another term, how can you kill someone? Amen. Who is eternal deity? Amen. The only way his life can be taken is if there met a cursing emblem of the cross. Amen. Christ absorbed it in that moment of time. And he laid down his life. Amen. Succumbing to the curse that we are under. Amen. And by the execution of the cross, what comes out? Amen. He dealt with their sorrow. He dealt with their thorns. He dealt with their sweat. He dealt with their death. Amen. And on the other side, amen. Do you remember what the Lord said in the law? He said that if you slay a man and you put him and hang him upon a tree, he said now, amen, don't leave his body hanging there through the night. He said if you're going to hang him on a tree, amen, he's got to be taken down before the sun goes down. You've got to bury him. And that friend, oh, how the Holy Ghost worked it all out. And Christ, that friend, redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we've been made and cursed for us, absorbing our curse and the sorrow and the thorns and the sweat and the death that he poured. And we've been, thank God, he fulfilled the law. And God fulfilled it all out. And when before the sun went down, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, hey, and when they came and begged the body of the Lord Jesus, and they took him and they buried him, and 3 days later in the resurrection, amen, it is as though the God of glory testifies, "I am pleased with the work that my Son did upon the Calvary 3 days before. I am satisfied." Amen. absorb the curse. Amen. The exchange in this redemption and that battle. Amen. I already give it to you briefly this morning. And we give it to you briefly again in verse number 14. The Bible said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I said this morning, the blessed man, Jesus is the blessed man. The one who perfectly fulfilled Psalm 1:1. We like to, and it is a challenge for us, amen, to live up to that list of things. But Jesus did it perfectly. Jesus was the one who perfectly meditated in the law of the Lord day and night. Amen. Oh, I could preach on that Psalm 1 right here. Jesus is the blessed man that the Bible said became a cursed man. So that the cursed children could be blessed in the cross on which he died. Amen. Now, the blessing, did you catch the word? The blessing of Abraham. You remember what we said about being under curse? The opposite of being under the curse is being under the blessing. To be cursed is to be without the blessing. You know what the curse does? You know what the cross does? The cross, through its redemptive power, takes a bunch of cursed people and lets them start enjoying the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we do.
Yes.
Amen. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in the next week, but if you're saved tonight, you're blessed.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're saved, you are blessed.
Amen.
In fact, we are blessed. The Bible said, did you catch, amen, did you catch, amen. Amen. Verse number 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed.
Yes.
Outside of faith in Christ and his cross, you're cursed.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Do y'all see the exchange? Maybe I need to pick this up right here next week and preach it. Do y'all see the exchange?
Yes.
The blessed man takes on the cursing. So the cursed man can take on the blessing.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That'll make a man shout.
Amen.
I'm blessed tonight. I'm blessed tonight.
Yes.
You're saved, you're blessed tonight.
Amen.
Yes, we're still living in a cursed creation, and we grow, Paul said in Romans 8, waiting on the redemption and with the redemption of our bodies. And then there's an element of the physical side of who we are, that we still are acquainted with the curse, we love the curse. And thank God on the spiritual side, there's been an exchange there, man. And then we're not cursed children anymore. And certainly we that once were cursed are now blessed with thankful Abraham. Was Abraham blessed? You better believe he's blessed. Amen. It was God blessing Abraham, yes. And you and I enter in through faith into the same blessing, the same relationship, and the blessing of God that comes through Christ. Amen. An exchange of this redemption in Christ by his cross is offered the exchange of all that the curse pronounced. In exchange for the eternal redemption of the gospel.
Yeah.
All the man's got to do is believe and repent of his sin.
Yeah.
In that moment of time, there is an exchange.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
When I bowed on my knee, a cursed child, baggage race.
Yeah.
In a moment of time, look, Gerald, just in a moment of time.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but when I got up, I wasn't cursed anymore.
Yeah.
I was blessed.
Amen.
And I've been blessed ever since.
Amen.
And I'm eternally blessed. Why? Because of redemption.
that is in the cross
Amen.
Of Christ. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible said, "For he that is the Father, he made him that is Christ to be made sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." Where? In him. The exchange, the Savior became as sin so that sinners might know what it is to be saved. So have we been redeemed? Has there been a rescue from loss? Amen. If you've come by the way of the cross, Amen. You see the exchange. A lot of ways we can preach this on things I'm bypassing tonight, but you see that exchange clearly in the events of Calvary.
Yes.
Amen. Pilate trying to find a way to set Jesus free, saying, "I find no fault in him. This man ain't like the rest of us." That's what Pilate was saying. He ain't like the rest of us. I looked him up and down and inside and out, and there is no fault in this man.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Gives to the crowd an option. This faultless man who's done no wrong, or Barabbas, who's an insurrectionist and a rebel and has tortured the land side.
Yes.
He said, "I'll set one free."
Yeah.
They said, "Give us Barabbas."
Yes.
And crucify Jesus. You see the exchange that was made. It typifies the redemption that Christ offers. The guilty being set free because of the work of the guiltless.
Thank you.
Shout, Brian. Sister Debbie, shout, Brian. I don't understand all of it. I really don't. I don't understand all of it. I'm just enjoying the blessing.
Amen.